Welcome to Beta Wave TV, babies.
Hi, 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 hi.
Hello, hello. This is Breaking Waves, episode 4.
Splash.
Splash, splash. This is a show where we're just kind of talk about, you know, media and people that just like kind of influence us and, you know, what's kind of going on in our brains, you know?
You want to eat some of these scrambled eggs up here, because trust me, they're tasty. Soft scrambled, easy thoughts, easy things to ingest. It's just tasty.
It's a tasty omelet of music and people and, you know, just some conversation.
You're making me hungry for more music info about us.
Go get that burrito that's in the control room real quick. We'll wait. No,
it's
we
smell
won't.
In here. You guys are lucky you're not in here. You're lucky this isn't a smelling forum.
Yeah, definitely. So this is episode 4. This is another episode. Just Dan and I. We'll have an interview next episode for you guys.
Fun.
But for this one, we kind of want to dig in a little bit deeper into our taste in music, our respective tastes in music.
Sure, sure. And so we're doing this little thing. So. Our top five in the last five years.
Yeah, so I mean, we did the Tyler, the Creator review, and you kind of got an idea of what we like, but this will be a little bit more specific to each one of us, mm-hmm. you know, what we've really been listening to
and
in the past 5 years.
You can judge us, who has better music taste, me or Dev, you know, like Disco Daddy, who's gonna win? I don't know, with that fuck name you win every time.
We didn't even introduce ourselves. Yeah. What's up? My name's Devon Taylor, aka Daddy Disco, and then on my other side, we got
Dan Hess or Music Man Dan. Hello.
Yes. Hello. Hello. But I'm intrigued because like we didn't look at each other's lists, so I don't know. I wonder if we're gonna have any overlap.
No peeking.
We kind of. You said you had more recency bias on yours.
Yep.
My list is very sexist. There's not very many women included on.
Ew. Gross.
It was an accident, and then I was like, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, at the end of the day, you're being honest to what speaks to you, and not saying that women artists aren't speaking to you at all. That's not true, like, at all.
I don't listen to gender, okay?
You groove, you like it.
It's all non-binary in my eyes, so all this music that we're talking today, they are just made by sexless aliens. We're going to go with that.
There's no genitalia down either one of us right now, okay? We're just here to discuss music and have fun.
Smooth like Ken dolls. But yes, before we get into our top five lists, I have to ask you, Mr. Dan, what's keeping you wavy this week?
You know, I caught a wave, just a nice, beautiful, smooth guy barreled out on this new TV show, Why? The Last Man. It's on Hulu. It's based on like a comic book series, like one of those, what would you call it? Was it visual of the comic book series?
Graphic
right?
novel.
Yeah, graphic
I guess,
novel,
yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's this disease that kills pretty much every last male person, animal, whatever is a dude died besides this guy and his monkey.
We love it. We love it. Kill them all.
And it's nice. It's fun because like there's this fun dynamic. There's this gal. She plays like the Secret Service person for the president. That's a female, obviously. And she's like this badass chick. Beats crap out of people, and this guy that she's having to drag along to like save this dude to figure out what the hell's going on. It's just a total whim. So it's some fun dynamics, and I like the apocalypse shows.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet. But fun fact, the male character was gonna be played by Shia LaBeouf at one point.
Oh no! Yeah, he's too badass. He's too cool of a dude.
This guy's
really
a dweeb.
Good whip.
Yeah, this guy's a dweeb, right?
Like I'm just like every time he talks, I'm like, dude, shut the hell up. Just go along with the plan.
Yeah, I've heard the graphic novel series is fantastic. So
I might actually check it out now that I've watched this show because I've been having fun watching it. It's a good show.
Yeah, I'm excited to check it out. On my brain, I mean, I've literally been thinking, I mean, I watched this movie like a week or so ago and I just have not stopped thinking about it, is James Wan's Malignant that just came out. And I'm a big horror movie guy. That's like kind of my jam. And man, it's you think it's like a classic spooky house, you know, supernatural romp.
Ooh.
And it's not.
Oh.
James Wan like came out trolling everybody with this like, you know, B movie, like camp horror, And it's and it just like completely took everybody off guard. Like, what, regardless of if you like the movie or not,
yeah,
you should go see it just for the fact that it exists and it's a mainstream, like, big studio movie. And it's like, James Wan, you know, he's made a shit ton of money off his movies.
Oh, yeah.
If it was any other director, he wouldn't have got to do this. Like, for this weird of a movie, it's so silly and ridiculous, but it's so fun. And just the fact that it exists and he got a main studio to finance this movie.
Well, those campy horror movies, you're a big horror movie guy, but those mm-hmm. campy ones are my favorite type of horror movies. I'm not a huge, biggest fan as you, but those ones are great. So much fun.
Yeah. Like because it's funny, like the trailers look very serious and like you think it's going to be serious.
So we get some laughs along this bloodbath ride then.
Just check it out. You can watch on HBO Max. You don't even have to go to a theater. I recommend you see it
to
in
the
theater.
Max.
I recommend see it in theaters, has great sound design and shit to it, but yeah, so check out Malignant, because either way, if you love it or hate it, you're gonna have a fun time watching it. Like, watch it with a group of friends too.
I'm watching it tonight.
Yeah,
I love this.
Please do, and report back to me, because it is chef's kiss in my opinion.
Mwah! Mwah, 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 mwah.
But yeah, so that's what's keeping us wavy this week. But now, let's go ahead and get into the bulk of the episode here. So we're going to do our top five of the past 5 years, and we're going to go back and forth, you know, 5-5, 4-4, and we're just going to count them down.
Perfect.
Dan, would you like to lead off?
Yes, I will start. I just want to give a little cliff note here. I want to say these are like my top five albums of all time the last 5 years. Like, these are the ones that probably I remember the most over the last 5 years, or like I've had like a personal, like really touching experience, and I really remember some songs yeah. from, like, I remember seeing the song live at a concert for the, like, stuff like that, that really, like, these memories that stuck with me from these albums. You
yeah.
know?
These are very personal lists. Like, cause same for me. These are not like what we think are the best five albums of the past 5 years. Like, as far as, like, you know, critically or anything. Yeah. This is a very personal, like, same. It's like, right. what album do I return to a lot? What impacted me in some way? What has those lasting memories? Like, same thing.
And with that, I'm just going to jump in the pool here. Damn by Kendrick Lamar, 2017, his fourth studio album. Just an all-timer. I love it.
Where does it fall for you in his other albums?
Number one. I really like all the other stuff, but this is one that I go back and listen to. I mean, Humble, obviously amazing. Love DNA. I love all those tracks. They're all amazing.
I wanted to put To Pimp a Butterfly on my list, but that was 2015.
It a little outside of us.
It was outside yeah. the range. Because I think T-Pab is one of the best albums of like of the 21st century right. so far. Like, I think it's right up there. So, but great choice though. Great choice indeed.
Well, it was one of these ones where it was like the first time we really like, I love this conscious rap, the elements of trap music, R&B. Like, he did a really good mix with this one, a little bit of pop in there too. And it just really opened my eyes to that style of music, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah, I do agree. Like, his spin on trap rap was interesting, definitely, especially, you know, pivoting from something that was more artistic with To Pimp a Butterfly. My number five is from a smaller artist, Ryan Beatty, if you've ever heard of him. He used to be a Disney Channel star back in the day.
Most of the great ones are. That's yeah. where they start.
Ryan Beatty, he released an album called Boy in Jeans back in 2018. And he's collaborated with, like, some other artists, most prominently Brockhampton. He's been on a few of their tracks, but he released an album in 2018. It's a concept album of sorts. It's about, like, a high schooler, like, you know, discovering mm-hmm. his homosexuality and, like, just the various feelings that go in that, like, some of the sad, tragic stuff, but then the really warm, you know, moments as well. Just has a slew of, like, really great tracks on there. And it just plays really well, like, front to back. Like, it has...
I love something you just put it on, press play, go mm-hmm. about your day. And it's just, I don't have to worry about changing, pressing next. I'm just listening to the whole damn thing.
Yeah, and it has different, like, feels in it, though, too. Like, it feels all one, like, mood and aesthetic, but each track is very different, though. It's not like... that like that it feels repetitive,
right?
But just it's a really great album. Like I said, I can just like really great tracks on there. Power Slide is probably one of my favorite ones.
Power Slide,
Yeah, really great album. So check it out. He's a little bit of a smaller artist, and he has a very cool spin on alternative R&B.
Is there any better feeling when you throw on a small artist, maybe only you know, you're at a hangout or something, and people ask you, who is this? You feel so goddamn cool.
Exactly.
I can't tell you how cool I feel. It's never happened to me, but I've imagined it happening, and it seems like it'd be pretty nice.
It's a great summertime album. I know we are exiting summer and going into the fall, but it kind of has that feeling as well as like a transitional time type
Well,
of
we
album.
Always have 2022 to look forward to if we're all still here.
Yeah, and shout out to Cupid and Haircut. Those are also a couple of great tracks on there as well.
Nice. My number four is Pure Comedy by Father John Misty. I love me some Misty, man. He is an interesting fella. I think the reason why this album stood out to me and this song in particular, things that would have been helpful to know before the revolution. I heard this for the very first time. And I barely listened to this album, honestly, when it first came out. Then I saw him live at the Bowl and I heard this song for like the very first time. It's one of those songs like listen to it the next day and the day after that for 2 months straight. I listened to this song like every day. And it was like, you know, I broke down and cried at the Bowl listening to this song. It was just really touching and that's everything. The melody, everything is just very, very good. I loved it.
Like, would you say it was an album that, like, it's one of those ones where, like, the live experience, like, enhances the album itself?
1,000%. Like, a couple of the songs on there, now that I just absolutely in love with, weren't even on my radar before even going to the show. And that just really shows the power of live music, like, that you could experience that and be like, oh, my gosh, how did I miss this? And I'm so glad I didn't. But yeah, that's one that stuck with me for forever, so I love that one.
Yeah, I've never really given Father John Misty a like proper listen through of his stuff.
Dude, we could sit down, smoke a couple bowls, really get depressed together. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's all sad boy music, but I just love being sad sometimes. Sometimes it's nice.
I do love his personal fashion. I'll say that. Man's got drip.
Man drips for days. He's just a puddle of drip. He's sexy. I'm gonna say it. I've said it.
Yeah, I'll definitely check those out. My number four is I See You from the XX. It was released in 2017, and it was cool after their second album that they released in 2012.
How cute are they?
They're so great.
Like, oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, they've been friends for, like, however long. Super cute.
They've hooked up before, right? There's no way.
I mean, they probably have, but Romy is married to a woman, though. So she swings both ways, but yeah. You know, I mean, the music they make together, of course they.
Well, the music they're making together does sound like they're having sex because it is so lovely and sad at the same time.
Yeah, and so they had went on a hiatus after their second album for a little bit. They just had been touring so much, and they spend a lot of time together, and they just needed some space,
sure.
Do some other shit. And then, so they come back in 2017 with this album, and this was after Jamie XX, he's the one that does, like, a lot of the producing.
Mm-hmm.
He does, like, all the turntable stuff. And he had done a solo album, like, solo electronic album that was,
totally
like, a smash
sucked,
hit.
Huh?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, so he didn't need her. Okay, whatever.
It was like a smash hit, and it was cool because I liked the XX's first two albums, but it was all very slow and somber and moody. And then, you know, they let Jamie inject some of his, like, flavor into this third album more. So it's a lot more upbeat than their other stuff, but it still has the slow,
right,
moody stuff that they're known for. But it's just a great blend, and it was a really nice evolution of the band. Like, you know, like, really incorporating, like, feeding off each other some more. And just a great example of, like, oh, like, when a band takes space from each other, it's not always a bad thing. Like, people hear hiatus and they're like, oh no, the band's breaking up. Oh no, like, what's going on?
Well, we
and
all
like,
know why they took a hiatus.
Because they couldn't stop fucking.
Yeah, how did you? Yeah, perfect. See?
That's my theory on why the Civil Wars broke up. But because they're, yeah, but that's
what?
That's a story for another day.
okay, different episode.
We'll put a pin in that one when we do our music theories.
I'm making a note right now to come back to that later.
When we do our music theories, I'll talk about the Civil War some more.
That's something to look forward to, kids.
See You, a really great album. Like, again, front to back, like Dangerous, Say Something Loving, Lips, Replica, like so many great tracks on this album. It's really good. Put it on at 11 midnight when you're driving through some back roads. Good shit.
Good one. Good Good one to sleep to. You know what I mean?
It is a good one.
Sorry,
to sleep
that doesn't
to.
Mean it's bad music. It's just like sometimes I can fall asleep to it.
No. They are an artist. I'll put their stuff on, just like all of their music on shuffle, and like go to sleep.
I wake up so depressed though.
Great sleepy so music.
Sad. Okay, moving on here. Is this number three? Are we on three?
Three for you. Yes.
Boom shakalaka. Okay, this has a little latency bias. This one just for my last couple, just because these are the ones I remember the most. Tame Impala, The Slow Rush. So I'm huge Tame fan. Love them. Love Travis Parker, dude. He's a genius. Some people compare him to Elton John, and I'm like, no. Well, let's slow our roll here. He's not that prolific. Prolific?
Prolific.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, Kevin Parker is a very talented individual for sure.
Yeah.
Love the Tame Impala project, but yeah, how'd you feel about The Slow Rush?
It was just amazing. On track, one more year. I mean, it's one of those ones, too, where I can just throw it on and just listen to every single track. I love it. And then they had a really fun on Spotify. They had a deep dive on it where he just talked about making the tracks. And it's so interesting. He does everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a one-man band. And so that fascinates me how he comes up with these fun little ideas and just messes around, just extremely experimental. And he makes amazing music. It's just super. If you guys haven't listened to that deep dive on the album, it's really, really fun listen.
Yeah, I don't know it, like if I just I've listened to it a few times through, and I don't know if I'm guilty of Currents was so damn good.
Oh my god!
So
Currents.
I had
you know, I wanted that on here instead of that.
I had unrealistic expectations for his next album after that. So like I didn't. I felt underwhelmed by it, but maybe
it was
I
no
did
Currents,
to,
but it was. I still loved it.
But
yeah.
Without the hype now,
yeah.
Maybe I'll feel a little bit differently about it.
Yeah, no, it's a fun listen. It was a cool thing. He did a lot of milestone stuff in the album, like talking about just things in his life, things that matter or used to matter, don't anymore. So it was just a cool album. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and the concept of time behind it too. I like a
yeah, super
I like
cool.
me a good concept album.
Oh God, I love a concept album.
Like so much. My number three was a debut album from who has become one of my favorite artists of the past few years. Lucky Day, his debut album Painted. I mean, he's killing the R&B game right now. I feel like alternative R&B and like poppy kind of stuff is more where it's at right now. And he's kind of like more traditional R&B, like, but still modern, but like he reminds me a lot of D'Angelo.
Right.
Like big time D'Angelo vibes. The dude has a killer voice. Mm-hmm. He can sing, he can rap. All of the instrumentation for the album, like he uses live band sounds for the most part. When he performs live, like his NPR performance, his NPR Tiny Desk performance.
I love those. Those are so freaking cute.
It's so fucking good. It's one of the best ones on there. Ever since I found this guy, I've been just obsessed. Every track that he guests on, everything he's doing, the EPs he's done since then, like... he just made a song with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, the dude is blowing up, and it's like...
Earth, Wind, and Fire is still around. Still doing it, too. Like, can we talk about that later? Another pin?
But super great album, though. And it's like, you know, one of the ones where, like, when you hear the story behind it, you, like, kind of appreciate, too, because apparently he just, like, got his, like, heart, like, torn to pieces and then put it all into this album.
Torn to pieces. Like, that always makes a good album. I don't know matter what. Like, if you were broken up with, just start making music because it's guaranteed to be good.
Pretty much. Like, you have a pretty high chance of a banger on your hands.
You're going to get at least one good song out of it, people. Just start making tunes. Broke up, make album.
Yeah. It's like, I hate that happened to you. But I'm glad it did because we got some great music.
Now I have a song to listen to when someone breaks my heart.
Exactly. Great, great album, great artist. Definitely check them out.
Very cool. I'm swinging up into number two here. Donda, Kanye West. I just said his name wrong accidentally. It's the D. It's the D and the K mix up. I liked it because... It didn't get great reviews. I think it's because it's technically what a Christian album.
It's a bit of a gospel album.
A gospel album or whatever. But I mean, I loved it. I love that he did something a little experimental. There's some stuff on there that I like. It surprised me. The connective tissue between the tracks didn't really feel there. It felt a little uncompleted, but I still enjoyed it. Like that was another one. Like I listened all the way through. It was fun, a fun listen, and I love that track, Jonah, and then Jesus Lord. Like, all the guest artists that he had on Jesus Lord were awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, really good.
Yeah, I think it, you know, one, it got caught up in the whole, like, him and Drake released their albums around the same time. So it was
sure.
Drake versus Kanye and all this stuff. And and his last album, the Jesus is King album, it's not good. So, like, I think people are pretty weary going into it. But
I like
Donda a lot. It's not my favorite Kanye album, but I do enjoy, again, like, he brings something different to every single album. I almost put Kid See Ghost in my top five. I was close, but it's a bit too short. That's the only reason I left Kid See Ghost off of it.
Yeah, and that one, too, was, like, not my favorite either. But I just like this one. I guess it was surprising. I think the one before it was so awful that this one didn't suck. So I was like, this is awesome.
Made it refreshing.
Maybe a little bit, but I just enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. And like, I'll be honest, like a couple of tracks in like goosebump inducing. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I want to go to church after listening to this. Like, amen. Like it was a powerful album. It really was. It felt like he put a lot of heart and soul in it.
The song where he has the Lauryn Hill sample on it just is so good. Like the whole album is like very somber, but then like you have that one track that's just like so overly uplifting and like it's like a real good clout cleanser. I believe what I say. Such a great track.
Yeah, really, really, really good. I love it a lot. I like it a lot.
So for my number two, I'm going to cheat a smidge.
Okay, here we go. Dude, you're always cheating.
I do. Okay, so my number two is I got Brockhampton in here. Mm. In 2017, they released three albums in a span of 6 months. It was the Saturation Trilogy.
Love that.
It's Saturation 1, 2, and 3. They released it in this like 6 month succession. They had so many music videos and they had just this energy that is what inspired me to be like, okay, no, I love music and I know I can make music too. Because it was just like these.
Well, this
like,
is a really important one for you then. Yeah. For reals.
Like for real. Like it's just like these nine kids got together. They said, let's all move out to LA. They had been like kind of collaborating together, some of them, but then they like
they
formed
built the
this
path
super
for
group.
You. They showed you the way.
Yeah. And like, you know, and the trend of this like, you know, that like creative collectives are kind of back in now. Like these like groups that right. like all collaborate and like do all this stuff together. And it was just super inspiring and impressive, like watching them put out like so many. Like so much content. Like that's why it's called Saturation Trilogy. They said we're gonna saturate the market with our shit so that way people like can't ignore us. And that was like so smart. They did documentaries behind it. So the trilogy itself is like you can kind of look at it as one project. I'll say Saturation 3 is my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really cool culmination of like Saturation 1, it's like, you know, they're the underdogs. Saturation 2, they're kind of feeling themselves, they're gaining some momentum. And then 3 is like they're like really like feeling themselves.
Right.
And they're like, yo, we are doing some hot shit right now. We are making bangers. Like Saturation 3 just has so many great tracks. You got Rental, you got Stains, Boogie. Like, I mean, they just it's so good. And like it just and now it has just like that nostalgia. Like emotional tie. Like whenever I listen to it, I kind of get back in that mindset. Cause it was like whenever I was preparing to move to LA too.
This is your pump up album. And what's great too, like that they actually sat down and created these three albums in like what a 6 month period, maybe a year or something.
It was like
if you have the hot
June
hand,
to,
keep going, right? Like, and that's what I think a lot of artists that listen to this or just people in general, when you get into a good head of steam and you're being creative or working really hard at something, have that good flow, you got to keep it going and write it all down.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, and when you have eight people, you know, it's easier to kind of like just like bang out all these tracks. And that, like
that's a fun workshop room.
Oh, they like did the thing where they just lived in a house. There was like nine of them in a four-bedroom house, and they were fucking shacked up in corners and in mattresses in the hallway, just like making fucking music. So
that's good. Gives you life.
Yeah, and just like takes me back to that time of like right before I was like gearing up to move to LA. So it just like gave me that extra oomph, you know?
All right.
So before we get to our number ones.
Do a little honorable mention and then we'll jump in. So I'll just do my mention and then jump right into my number one, baby.
Do it.
Honorable, Jungle, Loving in Stereo, that new album that came out, a month ago or something, is super fun. I won't spend a bunch of time on it. Everyone knows Jungle. They're super good. Fun, groovy, disco, funk. Fiesta that they put on that new album. I thought it was a great marriage of their first album with their second album. They kind of took all the best elements of that and then made another great one, and they have some fun collabs on it. So it's a fun, energetic, dancey.
It's real groovy.
In the names of Matt Faulkner, groovy. Play something dancey. Yes. I just love hearing it. Shout out to that guy. He's pretty cool.
Yes, we love something dancey, and they're just like one of those bands that, like, when you turn them on, like, if the person is not tapping their foot or, like, you know, gyrating their shoulders a little bit, like, are you even alive?
Yeah, there's a couple of tracks in there you cannot help but move. Like, it's impossible, and I love albums like that, and they're so much fun. All right, right into number one is Soccer Mommy. It's on by this gal, Sophia Allison, and they just released a new album that was Color Theory last year, so in 2020. It's just a really fun indie rock album. She's, like, super cool. I love her vocals. I'm dying to see them live. I know they play here and a lot in L.A., so I'm dying to see those guys, but they're a really fun indie rock band. And I listened to this song, Bloodstream, on there last year. For 6 months, I was listening to that song every day almost. Like, it's just such a fun rock album. It really makes you feel. It's just a fun album that I enjoyed.
Yeah, I actually, that's the only one on your list that I have not listened to myself.
Please, yeah, check her out. She's really good. The whole band is really talented. So that's a fun little indie rock joint for you. What about you, baby?
For some honorable mentions, got to throw Dua Lipa. Future Nostalgia out there, recent one, got a shout out, got to get the ladies in there. I would have had Carly Rae Jepsen on my list, would have been number one, but Emotion was released in 2015.
Yeah.
Just missed the cutoff, or else Carly Rae would have been at number one.
Dua Lipa is awesome, though. Yeah. She seems like a really fun person, you know, generally good, like nice.
I mean, a lot of people are doing kind of like, you know, the 80s sound is what's in right now,
totally.
Like what's hot. And so many people have done it, whether it be The Weeknd, Miley, you know, everybody's kind of tapping into that sound. But I think she really did like get, you know, the album title, The Future Nostalgia. She had this like really nice blend, had a great production team behind her.
The whole physique of it, everything is beautiful. It flows so well. And she freaking deserves all the success she has. She's rocking it.
Yeah. And shout out to Run the Jewels, RTJ4, some of the best rappers doing it right now. Like, they are on another level. And shout out to Blood Orange, Negro Swan. Really great album, but then it just kind of got me to go back and listen to all of his other stuff. And like, Blood Orange probably like influences my sound of music the most, like whenever I'm making stuff. So had to shout Blood Orange out as well. But my number one, another big musical influence for me, one of my favorite bands, the 1975.
Yes, the 1975!
They've released a few albums in the past 5 years, but I will go with... I told you I had the most pretentious album title on my list.
Yeah.
This is,
you were right. I was trying to think, you were told me like, hey, just so you know, probably long. I was like, what could it be? You got it. Nailed it.
Yeah. Their sophomore, album, I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful Yet So Unaware of It. Released in 2016.
Don't let your girl go backstage with those guys, because you'll never see her again. No. Don't let anybody go backstage. No one should be backstage.
No one. Yeah. Don't let me go backstage.
It's dangerous.
I will disappear.
Like, I will leave with them. They're now my new daddies.
Matt Healy, if you somehow see this, get at me. Yeah. Get at me. Such a really great album. I love that they came out with the second album to like prove that they aren't just some pop band or like just the standard indie band. Like, their first album is also phenomenal. And but they were like, okay, we want to show you guys that we have all these other influences. The first album was like dark, and like even the album artwork was black and white, and this one was white and pink. So they came out really bright and bubbly and brash, and like, it's just a great album to like, again, this is a no skips album, and it's 17 tracks, and it's like, so it's a hefty listen, but also like, there's no fat on this album.
But put all that weight on my body, like just completely lay on me. Yes.
Yeah. I just like how they continue on themes from their previous albums, but then still incorporate it into the new one. Like, they do this thing with their intro track for all of their albums. It's the same poem, but then they do the music like in whatever style the album is going to be. So it's like a preview, but mm-hmm. it's the same poem on like at the beginning of all their albums. But this album had songs like Somebody Else, probably like their biggest hit single. Another yeah, great definitely. Breakup song. and it's got songs like Love Me, She's American, If I Believe You, This Must Be My Dream. Like,
are you just going to list the whole album right now, all 17 much. Tracks? Okay, perfect.
Pretty much.
Is it, you don't need to look it up, guys. We're going to list it for you right here.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It influences my music quite a bit as well in terms of the way that I write. And
no, it's a sexy
stuff.
Album.
It's sexy. It's got all the things, like, and it just, again, it's one of those ones, as soon as I listen to it, I'm, like, transported back to where I was in 2016, and like seeing this album in concert was just, oh my goodness. It was like, I'm not religious, but this was as close as it gets for me going to church. Like, this is close as me feeling the Holy Spirit is listening to this album.
Oh, you got touched by the love of 1975.
Mm. Sexy, sexy band. Great band. We didn't have any overlap. We didn't have any of the same albums, which is great.
No, that doesn't mean that we don't have stuff in common and that we aren't best friends.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I feel like that accentuates this even more, because it just kind of, it shows we have similar tastes, but like also you're getting a wide range on the between these albums.
If that doesn't accentuate you, I don't know what will.
I don't know either. We got lots of genres represented. All the years are represented in there. Like, I like both of our lists right there.
I like us.
I like us,
I
too.
Hope everyone else does, too. Do you guys like us? Let us know.
Please like us. Please like us.
For the love of God, I just want likes.
But yeah, so this was going to be a shorter episode than the other ones. We just wanted to be able to sit down and just talk about some of the music that has really impacted us over the past few years.
Well, this was fun. I like getting to know your tastes. Like, we don't have a lot of time to like sit down and just talk about music all the time. So this is great just to discover stuff about each other as well.
Yeah. This is like whenever I like pull my Spotify profile up on my phone. I'm like, here, follow my playlist. Like, look, check this out. I have such good taste. Listen to me.
And everyone should add us their top five and last five as well.
Yeah, drop it in the comments below. Write your top five albums of the past 5 years and see where they stack up against ours.
Very cool. All right, well, it was fun chatting with you. Let's do it again. I want to.
Let's do it again. Maybe in the same outfits in the next episode even.
Again, laundry days. This keeps pairing up with not having laundry done. So, whoopsie.
Yeah, so the next episode, we will have another interview lined up. We have a very special guest.
Bring up your next victim.
Yeah. Yes, come to us. So make sure you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Like the little bell icon. It will tell you when there's new videos. And we got, check out all the live performances that we have on the channel as well. Dan, where can the people find you on social media?
Music Man Dan on IG. And make sure you follow Beta Wave YouTube and on all the rest of the socials as well.
Yes, at betawave.tv on Instagram, and then you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at _daddydisco. I also got a song on Spotify. Look it up.
Woo!
But that will go ahead and do it for episode 4 of Breaking Waves.
See ya.
Stay wavy, y'all.